tuned in to the Andrew Lawton Show.
I want to shift gears to an entirely different topic. You may have seen in Montreal that the very worst of American academia has been imported to Canada, in the sense that there is now an encampment at McGill University in Montreal that is inhabited and occupied by these anti-Israel protesters that are making all sorts of demands, among others, that the university divests its endowment funds from anything connected to Israel, that it severs ties as a school with Israeli enterprise. And we've also heard reports of very anti-Semitic rhetoric and statements, students being harassed for no other reason than their Jewish identity and the values that a lot of Jews, most Jews have, of supporting the state of Israel's right to exist. And what was fascinating about this is that McGill has kind of just said, they've given very little in the way of any sort of pushback, as we have an encampment that is now entrenching itself and will soon, I suspect, balloon to other campuses. Barbara Kay is a columnist with the National Post and the Epoch Times, and I actually got to see her over the weekend briefly at the Civitas conference. Barbara, always lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
A pleasure, Andrew.
Oh, you're muted there. Oh, perfect. I got your audio now. Let me ask you, Barbara, first off, about whether you're surprised by this. I mean, you've lived in Montreal for, I don't know about all your life, but certainly for many years, and you've seen what's happened since October 7th. Was this unexpected at McGill?
No, not at all, because this is kind of like a meme right now. In fact, I can't believe there would be a university campus anywhere in North America that would consider itself respectable if it didn't have something like this going on in an encampment, because that's what is done to show what a great social activist you are. And especially, it would be especially anticipated at universities where there's a large Jewish presence, as there is at McGill. So no, it doesn't surprise me at all.
How about McGill's response to this? Because they've basically, in a lot of ways, it looks like they've washed their hands of it. And we had students that were sent out through the Student Association, which is supposed to be, I don't know, advocating on things like tuition fees, instead send out students the death toll in Gaza, which based on, you know, very, very sketchy numbers from the, you know, Gazan Health Authority, there we go, just basically pinning the deaths of 31,000 people on Israel. And this is the type of rhetoric that students at McGill are being bombarded with.
Well, they're not specific about who's dying or how many. It might be that 30,000 have been killed, but what they don't specify is that according to Israel, 13,000 of them have been terrorists, and Hamas has not denied that. So the ratio of those killed to civilians killed to militants is actually, in urban warfare of this kind, quite low. But, you know, they'll tell you all kinds of things because they get their information from sources that are not reliable. They are determined to make their case for support against Israel. That's their main concern, is to call Israel out as an evil nation. And that's the message. And they're delighted to be active like this on campus. This is what students do. You may remember in 1968, there were similar demonstrations against the Vietnam War, and they were also taking over the campuses. In fact, that was our first experience of students actually taking over campuses and the administration losing control of the of what was happening on their own campuses. Of course, in those days, the message was peace and love, and now it's intifada and hate, so that's changed. But I did expect it, and I agree with you that the administration is acting in a very namby-pamby way because they're not quite sure what to do, and they're afraid to take muscular action as is required.
Well, and one of the things, and again, you always end up when you're talking about any display of this nature with this whataboutism. And, you know, a lot of people that had no issue with the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa are saying they want police to come in and crack skulls here. And the flip side, people that wanted police to crack skulls in Ottawa with the Freedom Convoy are saying, oh, no, this is the right to protest. So I think there's hypocrisy all around. But the one point I'll stress here is that universities have a demonstrable track record of treating different demonstrations differently. Like, I bet if the McGill University pro-life society were to stage a in, they would be gone in no time. And here we have an encampment of this nature. It's very anti-Israel, bordering on, depending on the rhetoric of the individual person, anti-Semitic. And McGill's saying, well, we'd like to come up with a resolution. We'll try to talk. We'll try to engage. And that's not a group that they afford to other, or a right they afford to other groups.
No, they're afraid of this group. They're not afraid to act, as you say, with politically incorrect groups such as pro-lifers. They certainly wouldn't tolerate for one second, people that are saying we're anti-immigration or in any way asserting themselves as white Canadians or anything like that. There's a set menu for who is considered racialized and who's considered the victim, and the Palestinians are one of them. And it does not occur to them that these expressions of hatred for Jews, because Jews are not on the victim list, to say, you know, for this one time, we have to agree, the numbers of anti-Semitic incidents and hate incidents are so high, I think we're going to just have to include this group of Jews on our campus as amongst the racialized, and we can't let this continue to happen. In the United States, we have seen states, Florida and Texas, where the governors have said, no, this just isn't happening. You private universities have codes of conduct. You're not applying them. And by the way, of course, McGill has a code of conduct, just like all the other universities. They are not applying their code of conduct. Their code of conduct does not allow for harassment on the basis of nationality or affiliation of any kind with, I mean, they may not like Zionism. That's too bad. For Jews, well, for most Jews.
I think you froze there for a moment, or at least it did on, I got you back now. Sorry, it might be on my end here. This is the glory of doing things live, but I'll ask you about let me take a step back here. If we talk about what's led us to this point, there have been people sounding the alarm about the increasing rhetoric, the ratcheting up of language. You know, at first it was, not at first, but early on, we saw people protesting businesses, especially in Toronto, that just happened to have a peripheral connection to Israel or no connection at all. It was just connected to someone who was Jewish. And then you go to this protest against McGill. Of all the people complicit in what Israel is doing, if you want to believe that Israel is in the wrong here, I put McGill University very low on that list. So the idea of targeting your ire at McGill when you have an issue with Israel and the IDF and the Mossad and all of that is absurd. And even if they got what they want or what they say they want, and McGill were to divest its funds from Israel, which is not even handled by the university, they have an external fund there, and sever ties with Israeli academics, you're changing nothing. Like, so that's the issue, is that it's not even like it's an effective protest, because their issue, they claim, is with Israel. And I think when you look at it through that lens, it becomes apparent their issue isn't with Israel. Their issue is much broader than that.
I think it is broader. Of course, it's very anti-Western as well as anti-Israel. And they know that they're probably not going to change the all their efforts at boycotts of Israel have failed, because it's not in their gift to tell the university where to place their funds. And they know that, but they are going after hearts and minds. They have been very successful in that endeavor. And the more noise they make on the campuses, and it's a central place. It lends itself to, you know, big open spaces to encamp. The universities could end this very quickly by taking the ringleaders and expelling them. That's what they have done in Florida and in Texas, and it's been very effective. That's the end of the protest. They could expel 100 students or suspend 100 students. They could end this very easily. So these students are activating either knowingly or unknowingly for a revolution. And to do that, they have to change what's acceptable to what is unacceptable. They have to turn Jews into pariahs. We saw that at Columbia, that Jews were advised to go home. They weren't safe. They caused the university to have to go on to online classes. This is a big victory for them, because they are showing a lot of muscle, and people get the message. We had better start appeasing these people, or things could get violent and out of control. I think it's very obvious what is happening, And the only way to combat it is very swiftly and very and to enforce your own codes of conduct. And it's at a certain stage, it's easy to do. And later on, it isn't so easy to do. Why they have chosen the path of appeasement, perhaps it's because the message from the top, from our prime minister, is non-messaging, and he doesn't seem to care about the rampant anti-Semitism that finds its ground zero at the universities, but spreads with the demonstrations all through society. It creates a mood. It creates a mood. It creates a feeling that, well, maybe, you know, if they're that angry, maybe they're right. And it does change hearts and minds. So they are winning the propaganda war with these tactics. And so I'm sorry to see it. And I'm sorry that so many intelligent people in the administration are failing to do their duty. Sad.
One of my favorite Canadian columnists, Barbara Kay. Always a pleasure, Barbara.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to The Andrew Lawton Show. Support the program by donating to True North at www.tnc.news.